This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
from every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome. October the 12th, mid-October 2021. The show, as you've clearly fallen in love with, is DePietro, is DePiro, is DiPietro. Whichever one of the three show up on any given day, I don't know, but I'm Rothenberg along for the ride. Let's say good morning to my good friend, maybe best friend, still waiting for that invitation to the home, though, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Don't question it. Best friend.
Okay.
And it's we've already established that best friend. You know what today is, Dave?
Tuesday.
Is?
Tuesday.
No, Tuesday. Well, it's not Taco Tuesday. It is Taco Tuesday. But what is today? It's a special
today.
Day. Very, very
special day in your life?
No. Just
no.
Special day. Well, yeah, I mean, for me, for RJ potentially, although he'll probably avoid this at all costs.
Hockey?
Oh.
Yep.
Hockey back on ESPN tonight.
Listen to the excitement.
Yes.
Listen to the excitement. Hockey is back.
Hockey is back, and it's been away from ESPN for way too long. Way too long.
It's great. So what do we have? The Kraken play tonight, don't they?
We got the Kraken tonight.
Yep.
We're kicking off with Pitt-Tampa. We're going to have Sean McDonough and Ray Ferraro on the call. You're going to have, ready for this? You're going to have Levy, Chelly, Mess, and Barry Melrose down in Tampa.
Oh, that is
kidding
nice.
Me? That's the heavy hitters right there.
That is nice. Now, why is DePiro not on any of the calls tonight?
DePiro clearly isn't at that level yet.
In my book, he's at the level.
Well, Italian soccer DePiro is probably invited. DiPietro / DePiro?
No.
He's staying on Long Island.
That's unfortunate. When does DePiro make his ESPN debut?
End of October, David.
End of October. So you get to kind of like watch how it plays out, get a feel for ESPN's coverage, consume it all, which I know you love to do, and then boom, late October, we have your big debut.
Yeah, I lie in wait in the bullpen,
nice.
And then they decide when they're going to use me and how they're going to use me. Could be a high leverage situation. We don't know.
So they could bring you in a 1-1 game in the eighth.
You never know.
Oh,
exactly right.
They don't know your lane yet?
Nah, we're trying to figure out the lane. Clothing-wise, I'm trying to figure out my lane. Do I go like Islander-style crazy, crazy sport coats? Do I ease my way in?
I would say ease, but do what you want. I mean, if you want to make an on-air statement like, say, a Don Cherry, you could do that.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think I ease my way in, right, and then, realize what I'm all about. It's a new audience. And then eventually, maybe I come strong with the crazy attire.
Yeah. Let people fall in love with you again. And then at some point, early on, you then start to slowly morph into, oh, he's wild. You don't know what you're going to get from DePiro. In fact, you should have the lower third one day. Rick DePiro. Like you could, or just like, ha, 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 DePiro. Like,
maybe that's my alter ego.
Yes.
Maybe like one segment on DiPietro, like the real
maybe
serious
guy. Maybe you end, like you're breaking down the other games. Then you go to commercial, come back, and now we've got Rick DePiro. And you're like, I'm Rick DePiro. I'm crazy, right? And now you're all over the place. For those of you that are like, what is the DePiro? If you didn't hear yesterday, Omar from Brooklyn, the great Omar from Brooklyn, called, and he made up a new name for DePiro. Right?
Yeah, banned, too, by the way. Suspended. Yeah. At least a week off.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sick
but
and
he
tired
won't even
of
know.
Because we have expectations for him. Like, he becomes, we have a handful of callers that are our guys.
Yeah, family.
Yeah, like a family, like Lonnie, like my nephew Lonnie. We got guys that, tweet and listen. We got Pedro, like a bunch of people. Omar has, people love hearing Omar.
Yep.
But there are certain days that we need to hear from Omar. And in, over the past couple months, he hasn't shown up.
Well, he showed up yesterday.
He showed up,
and I was excited to see it because, the Bills had their They're play it again. I didn't hear that.
Dave Rothenberg and Dave Burrow.
I love the nervous, like, I don't know what his name is. But there are certain days you expect him to show up. And he showed up yesterday, but he didn't show up yesterday. Like, he was physically there, and the call was there, and the Bills had their... I mean, that's the Bills' biggest regular season win in years. Going into Kansas City, winning the game, we expected big things from him. He was awful. Like, his whole goal was, ha, Giants lost to the Cowboys. Take that, Dave. Well, I'm not the focus here. Why would you turn the attention on me? Bad job by him. Awful job by him. There's a lot for us to get into today. All right, so Mike Tannenbaum, 7:35. We have CMT, led by one R.J. Santillo, 6:45. We have, I mean, the John Gruden story, which escalated very quickly, we'll get into, of course. We have the Jets. We have the Giants. I got to tell you, and we're going to start with Gruden in just a moment. If I'm a Yankees fan, watching the way the Red Sox use their manager and let him make some of these decisions would infuriate me now that the Red Sox, who had very low expectations, are sitting here. They beat the Rays. They beat the Yankees. They're in the American League Championship Series just waiting for the winner of Houston and Chicago.
Yeah, that is one of the teams in professional baseball that you can point to and say their manager has a direct impact on them winning and that they're a different team with Alex Cora as the manager. Because I think you're right. I think that... You know, he's one of those managers like a Terry Francona or one of the guys, the, you know, Joe Maddons that are allowed the, you know, the latitude to use the numbers and the analytics, you know, how they see fit. Like, there'll be times, instances during games. Like, I mean, the fact that they bunted last night.
I loved it.
I loved every second of it. And it worked. Now, I mean, Yandy Diaz doesn't make a great play there at third, which opens up the door to have the sack fly that ends it. But, I mean, that's a team in Tampa that most people pick to be at least in the World Series.
I'm stunned by the result. Stunned. I thought the Tampa was going to destroy Boston. And the fact that the Red Sox won that series, very impressive. Giants.
What is this baseball, though? Dave, you never know. Like, this is why, I mean, you have these conversations. We go back and forth, and I get mad at you sometimes because, I mean, it would be great if all these series, all these games were played on paper. I mean, what was the one thing? You asked the question, and again, I give you tons of credit because me and you, as best friends now, you did it again yesterday. We asked the exact question. Last question. Everything, all the pressure with the Rex Ryan interview is on you. We only have one question. You asked the exact same question.
Really?
I wanted to ask perfection.
Oh, wonderful. I got to be honest. I didn't remember what the question was.
It was about the Kansas City Chiefs being in real
trouble. Oh, yeah. So you, in your head, you're like, God, I wish we had time to ask about the Chiefs. And I said, Rex, one more quick one.
Yep.
How concerned are you about the Chiefs? How good did you feel at that moment?
I felt it only solidifies further that me and you are best friends. We're on the same wavelength. Okay, so anyway, so the point was, is that me and you go back and forth, and I get mad at you sometimes because you're like, oh, you know, you should beat this team, or, you know, you're clearly better. And I tell you, no, Dave, crazy stuff happens. Game's not played on paper. You ask Buster Olney, looking at the Yankees-Red Sox series, why should the Yankees, because he thought the Yankees would win, why should the Yankees win this game? And he said he's never seen a more distinct advantage for one team in a wild card game, and it was the Yankees' bullpen.
Correct.
He thought the Red Sox bullpen stunk. Did you see what the Red Sox bullpen did against Tampa in the series?
Yeah, I'm shocked. Well, you know, you have a big advantage because when you can start using starters, when you can use guys like Pivetta, right, when you can bring guys out of the pen who are really starters, it changes the dynamic in the postseason. It does. But there,
oh, yeah, and you got Whitlock back.
Now, yeah, McClanahan was terrible last night. He got hammered.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, there's a couple different things with analytics that I don't love. Like, we don't believe in hot and cold and stuff like that. Drives me crazy, but it's also, when you start going to the bullpen that many times, you're bound to get one guy that just doesn't have as good
thing.
Stuff.
Well, that's the thing, and therein lies the problem with going to the bullpen over and over and over. Now, they did come back. They tied the game. You give the Rays credit. Wander Franco is going to be an absolute phenomenal player. Just he is a special kind of player. But we'll get to that a little bit later, and we will get the pulse of the Yankees fan and how. I would think you got to be furious now if you're the Yankees that the Red Sox beat the Rays. And you couldn't even beat the Red Sox, and the Rays are so much better than you. And Alex Cora is making in-game decisions like the Yankees fan would love to see from their manager. And they have an expiration date on this thing. I mean, they have, what, like 3 weeks to make their final decision of what they're going to do with Aaron Boone? And obviously, you saw the story yesterday. I think it was Buster who said, if the Yankees don't retain him, San Diego would be right on the heels of Aaron Boone. They would absolutely want him.
Yeah, I also saw that Buck Showalter's in the mix for the Mets job, which I really like.
Well, how could you not?
You realize this too? How about this? So this stat I saw this morning, that so the Red Sox, you know, obviously a wild card team, beat the Rays, the one that, you know, the one seed. That's the eighth time in 17 series that a number one seed has lost to a wild card team.
So really what it's saying is there's no advantage.
Well, I mean, outside of the fact that you got to use your best pitcher probably in that wild card game.
Yeah, I mean, baseball's still crazy like even that. Even if you use your best pitcher. I didn't see the stat, but even if you use your best pitcher, it's 50-50 that you can win the next series, which was remarkable because you would think down your best pitcher, more games on the road than home, that you would lose more than half the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a distinct advantage. I mean, you got home field. Right? You're fully rested. You have your pitching set up. Well, that's the beauty of baseball. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. All right, we didn't know what was going to happen with John Gruden. And I can't believe that it happened so quickly. So the emails, first we find out there's the one email, racial, I don't want you to say undertones, or you want to say it's just flat out, you know, racially motivated, whatever you want to see with the original email. And that's a big story. And then yesterday, this New York Times story comes out, and he is just all over the place. Like, he will take shots at any, like, you know, the homosexual community, the commissioner, Caitlyn Jenner, you name it. He's going after people, and he doesn't make it through the night. As you're watching Monday Night Football last night, you learn that John Gruden is out. He resigns. And I think it was the only thing that could happen. Because if he didn't resign, if you're the Raiders, I think you would have had to fire him by the end of last night or today.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. I mean, and if anyone watched Monday Night Countdown last night and you had the Shefty report where the NFL sent over more emails to the Raiders, I mean, they wanted John Gruden out. I mean, the NFL, you could tell. I guess Shefty, I don't know if it was going to happen last night during Monday Night Football, but it was clear that whatever was in those new emails that they sent over was going to be more than enough to have John Gruden either fired or, you know, obviously he resigned last night. But, I mean, how if you're John Gruden after, you know, getting in front of your team apologizing, you know, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I apologize.
And he sounded annoyed at the end, too.
Well, and it clearly affected his team.
I'm not discussing this anymore. I'm not a racist person. I'll leave it at that. Let's kind of move on. Like, come on, pal.
Well, no, I mean, he didn't. I mean, I don't know if he expected that all the emails were going to come out. I mean, I guess you would have to at that point. But, I mean, there's no way he gets in front of that team and can be the coach of that team anymore. Or, I mean, more importantly, I mean, he's the face. He's the CEO of a, you know, almost a $3.5 billion franchise. Like, you can't have that if you're Mark Davis.
No. And I'm sure for Mark Davis it wasn't easy because he loves him. But the NFL played it well, I thought, in kind of putting the impetus on, all right, Raiders, you figure out how this is going to play out. We don't want to get involved. If we have to, we will. And in the end, they didn't have to.
No, they didn't have to. But, I mean, it was clear. They wanted John Gruden let go. Resign, fire, whatever it is going to be. I just don't, I mean, what is it that Tom Coughlin used to always say? Burn the boats?
Yep.
Isn't that his saying? Burn
yep.
the boats?
Yep.
I mean, John Gruden burned, I mean, you read some of those emails. It's
terrible.
It's everybody.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, listen, I always thought he was enjoyable on Monday Night Football, and he was a little too positive about everybody. Everybody's, this guy's great, and that guy's wonderful, and this is the best player. And then you realize in his personal life, it's the opposite. Like, he hates everything. He hates everybody. I mean, you know, sounds just like a bad guy. You heard Keyshawn Johnson. We'll hear from him in a second. Yesterday, just bad guy. And it's hard to argue with that right now.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, too. I mean, you don't ever know, right? I mean, you've had former players come out and say they've never seen any signs of this, but you don't really know, right? You have no idea what's in somebody's heart. Like, remember that great, you know, John Wooden quote is, you know, true test of a man's character is what he does when no one's
that's
watching.
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, this is something he thought was in private with Bruce Allen going back and forth. And
yeah, but how does that make it okay?
No, I'm not saying it makes it okay, but you get a kind of, this is a look into what he really thinks. Like, what he portrays to his team or
right.
to the public is clearly different than how he feels in his own private life.
Correct.
That's my point. So now you can't trust him as a player. Now you can't trust him. Like, when he stood in front of his team and said, you know, those comments about the Morris Smith, I had, there was no, you know, racial innuendo. And then you read some of these other ones. And I mean, Carl Nassib's a Vegas Raider.
Right.
And he's openly gay, and now he hears this. So it's, I mean, you can't lead a group of men and women that are in that building. I mean, John Gruden signed a 10-year, $100 million deal. He is the face of the Las Vegas Raiders. And you can't, if you're Mark Davis, as much as you love him, have him as the face of your team right now with all the stuff that came out.
Yeah, no, it's awful. I mean, I'm reading the Times article I have in front of me right now. Took shots at female referees, right? Took shots at homosexual players.
At everybody.
Players. Took shots
Goodell.
Goodell. I mean, went right after Goodell. There was really, I mean, kneeling for the anthem, homophobic slurs. I mean, there was nothing that was off base for him to go after. So, if you thought
owners, my he went after thought, NFL owners.
Well, the owner, you name it. And see, it's not like he says, I don't like Jerry Jones. All right, fine. You know, you have an email. I don't like Jerry Jones. It's fine. What I don't understand is why do you have to go after people, like personal attacks on these people?
Because he was comfortable. That's why. That's when stuff like this happens, when you feel like you're in a group where you're comfortable and you can say how you really feel. And you don't have to hold
back. So now we know the real John Gruden.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. That's why he can't get up in front of a room and coach an NFL team that has an openly gay player, that has, what, 75% of their team is black men. There's women that work, you know, for the team, that work in the front office. I mean, he offended every single one of
everybody.
The people that he's tasked to lead.
Everybody. But I saw the first story and the first email that was leaked, and my thought was, there's zero chance this is an isolated incident. There is no way in the world this one shot came out and just happened to be caught via email, and that's the one time. And he was so adamant about it. We'll hear from Gruden in a minute when we return, but so adamant, you know, I don't do that. That's not me. I have zero, you know, racial whatever in my DNA. And then you find out 24 hours later, no, that's exactly who you are. Like, there's a paper trail of who you are.
Well, that's the amazing part of this, too, is, I mean, so this was all because of the investigation into the Washington football team.
Correct.
Because at the time, Bruce Allen was working for, you know, the Washington football team. And they had, you know, a previous relationship in Tampa. So it was him, and it was Gruden, Bruce Allen. It was a bunch of big-time people, too. It was the founder of Hooters.
Yes.
It was
someone else, too.
PDQ Chicken, the founder of PDQ Chicken, mm-hmm. going back and forth in this email chain. And, I mean, because they were, you know, obviously investigating the Washington football team. And what the crazy part is John Gruden loses his job, and he deserves to lose his job. And... And Daniel Snyder is kind of just whatever.
Well, someone had a great tweet last night. It was like the guys who write the checks somehow skate through, and the guys that cash the checks wind up losing their jobs.
Well, that's what happens, though.
Yep.
I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, the owners and the fact that he went after the commissioner and the fact that he went after other owners.
But if you don't like the commissioner, fine. Like, I get that.
But don't, like, say I don't like the commissioner. I mean, if you read this article, I mean, the way he referred to the commissioner and everything else, it's not acceptable.
Therein lies the problem for me. Having an opinion, I don't like this, or I don't like this player, or I don't like this owner, that's fine. That's well within your rights. Taking racial shots or shots in some capacity one way or another at people for no reason other than you don't like them is unacceptable. And it's why he's unemployed right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that you've seen stuff like this, though. I mean, this is what happens. Like, Gruden's in a space where he feels comfortable, and you get a chance to see who the real John Gruden is. Or, I mean, you know, cases where, you know, guys are really angry and they start saying things that they shouldn't be saying. Like, I mean, this is, and it clearly affected his team too. I mean, his team did not play well against Chicago.
No, and of course, that affects the Giants, which is no good. But they were terrible on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he's just this is what had to happen, and. You know, I'm happy that they move quickly, but...
Well, they had to.
Because you know, there's no chance he can go back. He cannot step foot back in that locker room in front of his team.
I think the question becomes, and the phone lines are open for you guys, 800-919-3776. The question is, he can't be employed in the NFL again, right?
No, he's done. No, he's
but done. But he can't even have a public role in anything. He can't be a broadcaster, can he?
No, I don't think anyone's going to hire him now at this point.
No. So now he just, you know, goes off into anonymity for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and just, I mean, whatever he decides to do, but I can't imagine, I mean, that he's going to work in the sport again.
I wouldn't think
so. He can't coach. I mean, how can you...
He can't coach, but what's he going to coach? Because every time you turn on the TV and he's calling the game, your first thought is, this is a racist. Like, this is a guy who...
Well, not just
who,
a racist. I mean,
a homophobe,
that.
You name it.
So, yeah, this is all bad for him. And all bad for the Vegas Raiders right now.
Very bad.
I mean,
we started out so good.
Promising start, and now, yeah, they're dealing with this.
It has fallen apart.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I know that there's very little sympathy on this show for this, but I know RJ will be in my corner. I know Santiago would not be at all, and I don't think you will be either. I was up in fantasy football by 39 points last night.
It's just not for game, Ray.
Heading into my game, going up against Mark
Lamar.
Andrews. Mark Andrews. Just Mark Andrews. To make it even worse, at least Lamar, you're like, there's a chance he could have that kind of game. Tight ends don't score 40 points in fantasy football. But last night, Mark Andrews, 42 points in my league. I lose it. And then to make matters worse, as I'm closing my eyes to go to bed, my opponent sends me a screenshot of the final score mocking me.
Well, at that point, he has to, doesn't he? I mean, that's a momentous comeback. Down 39, he's got a tight end.
Ugh.
And if you're going to have any tight end, I mean, Mark Andrews, his relationship with Lamar Jackson, that's the tight end you want.
I don't think that there'll be a tight end
that's
a bigger. It's awful. In the fourth quarter, he had two touchdown catches and two two-point conversions.
Oh, yeah, I got it on right now.
You're watching the game again?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I enjoy football.
Just sitting there watching the Monday Night Football
game. Yeah, I'm just watching
right
now. I love the Ravens. I love the black jerseys, man. Oh,
that was a great game, huh?
Yeah, it did not look good for Baltimore early in that game.
They looked awful.
They looked bad.
Let's be fair. As good as they were and as great as the comeback is, if Blankenship is not something clearly wrong with him, I guess it was the hip, Indianapolis wins that game.
No, but is that the worst call? We've had some bad calls this season. Is that, where Doyle pretends to get put? I mean, that could be the worst call of all time.
Yep, a lot of bad calls.
No, that's a specifically bad call.
That was a bad call. A bad call. Yeah, you had one in the Jets game too. Now, Jets game, first quarter, first drive. I don't know that necessarily really has a huge impact on the game because they were outplayed clearly by Atlanta. But it's disgusting, these calls.
Yeah, but you feel like you get off the field too. I mean, Quincy Williams feels like you get off the field on third down, and then all of a sudden you get the stupid roughing the passer call.
Bad call.
There was another one too in that game where, the guy, he trips and falls and lands at Matt Ryan's feet and he gets flagged.
The officiating is awful in the NFL.
They need the sky judge. I don't understand why they don't have the sky referee.
Listen, you think baseball's any better? I think it was like first inning of the Rays-Red Sox last night. Franco's up and there's a ball that's a foot high out of the strike zone. Strike three called.
How about the Verdugo play at third?
It was safe. And then they called him out.
They called him out.
They replay it and they hold the call. They stays out. It was an amazing throw, but he was safe.
Yeah, but again, because they made the call on the field, and when we had our NHL seminar, they want the referees and the umpires to make the call on the field so they can use the excuse,
we don't have
enough evidence.
You make a call on the field, and then when you replay it, and the guy's clearly safe, you have to call him safe.
Yeah, but what they're saying is that it's inconclusive. There's not enough evidence.
Was that inconclusive to you?
No, not to me, but that's what they're saying. That's the excuse they use.
But that's even worse.
I asked the question to the... We had the whole group there. I said, then why, if there's any question at all, why wouldn't you just wait? We have instant replay. Just don't make the call. Wait to get it right. Well, we need them to be, get together and make the call. I said, why? So you can make the excuse that there's not enough evidence to overturn the call? Why not just make the call yourself? Because you've seen it 15 different times in super slow motion. No, we don't want that.
That's not what they want. They want a call to be made. I just don't understand why you don't overturn it to the proper call. That was not inconclusive, but... whatever. All right, let's get to the phones. 800-919-3776. We're from John Gruden in just a moment. Justin in Queens. Justin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phenomenal game yesterday. In terms of John Gruden, I want to say that, this is really scary when you think about, folks that are leading us in position of power, feel this way and think this way, but I'm gonna take a different stance, and I'm gonna ask you guys a question, right? Two questions. I'm a black man speaking and saying this though, but A, should we start opening these doors, right? Obviously, it fell into the lap, but I just wanted to ask the question. But when we start looking at how people feel or what they said in the past, those type of things. The second question is, do it really matter how a person feel about, how they see if they not more or less using it to, you know, stop someone from advancing. And I'm going to end with this. A friend of mine, which happens to be a white gentleman, he stated to me, he said, listen, assume every white person is racist until they show you other.
That's
and he's
not
an older
fair.
Guy, right?
That, Justin,
speaking
that's
about
not
it,
fair.
No. Listen, I agree with you, what you're saying. I'm just saying the statement he made in reference to, like, older people, right? And when you think of things like this, how things like this come about, you only wonder. But I'm not saying everyone is or they are, but it's just you just wonder. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think one of the most disturbing parts about this whole thing is that, so at the time when this started, John Gruden was the face of Monday Night Football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, he's in an email chain with Bruce Allen, who's another guy who's in a huge position of power with the Washington Football Team. And the fact that they thought it was okay to go back and forth saying the things that they were saying, you know, emailing each other some of the pictures that they were emailing, which is one of the reasons why the Washington Football Team with the whole cheerleader scandal was being investigated in the first place, is that that's not acceptable. Especially when you're in a business where most of the guys that you're either, you know, if you're Bruce Allen, you know, drafting, signing, are black men. And John Gruden now, who becomes the head coach, you're trying to lead a team, and in this case has an openly gay player, and I don't know what the exact percentage is, somewhere around 70% of the guys you're supposed to lead are black men. And this is how you're, you know, in the privacy of your own home, where you feel comfortable with, you know, this group of friends that you have.
That's right.
How you really feel about the guys that you're supposed to care about comes to light.
And I think he says, you know, is it a good thing that this comes to light? I think so. I do. And it makes me sad, to be honest with you, that he has a friend and that they can have a conversation of this is just how people are. I don't think that's how people are. I think that's how some portion of the population is. But I wouldn't put a broad stroke on this thing and say people are like white people are like that. People who are racist are racist. But I don't think it's everyone, certainly. In fact, I know it's not everyone.
Well, yeah, and ignorant, too. And I mean, and the fact is that on that email chain, you know, had somebody, whoever was on the email chain, if it was, you know, one of the co-founders of Hooters or, you know, PDQ or Bruce Allen, said, you know, hey, John, yes. You know, this is...
What are you doing?
We don't talk like that, man. Like, I don't need, you know, I don't need you sending me pictures of you know, cheerleaders topless. Or, you know, using the, you know, the language that you're using. It's offensive language.
Right. If I did that and we're in an email chain and you say, Dave, you don't have to kill me. Right. Just, Dave, I'm not comfortable with this conversation. It stops.
Yeah, it's not funny. Like, I don't know. I can't tell, like, by the email if you're joking or not, but it's not funny.
Right.
Like, what you're saying right now, if it's what I don't know what your intention is, but it's not funny.
No. And it stops and it goes away.
And here's the thing, too.
And that's it.
And I said this to open the show. The Las Vegas Raiders are a $3.4 billion corporation, right? And the head coach is the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. He signed a 10-year, $100 million deal.
Even more so than most
than
franchises
most teams.
In the NFL.
Exactly right. But the reason, I mean, it's the same thing with the quarterback. Like, they symbolize what you as a franchise are supposed to stand for. So, I mean, as much as Mark Davis likes John Gruden, you can't have the guy who's supposed to represent what the Las Vegas Raiders stand for be what we've just seen come out about John Gruden. That can't happen.
No. The whole thing is awful, and Gruden and the Raiders
think about,
the only thing they could
Dave,
do.
Dave, think about the people who consume your product. That, I mean, he's offended every single... Not only the people that work for you, that play on the team, but the people who consume your product. I mean, he offended almost...
Everyone.
I mean, can you name somebody that he didn't offend
board.
In those emails?
Yeah, I did. I read a lot of them. Across the board, he took shots at everybody. It's not like he didn't like a certain sector of the population. He didn't like anything, which to me is even more ridiculous because when he was doing Monday Night Football, it used to annoy me that all he had to say was positive, uplifting things about every single player. Like he would call nobody out, but in his private emails, he hates everything and everybody and will use epithets and all to go after people. So, bad story.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
what Rex said yesterday, thinking the Lions are better than the Jets or have a brighter future than the Jets has to just be, oof, just a shot to the gut to you.
They fight, man. I mean, they fight.
They do fight.
Two heartbreaking losses.
Awful. Yeah.
They should have won both of their head coach.
They play for that guy, so I give him a lot of credit. So we'll get
into that. I'm glad you brought that up because that ties into perfectly with this whole John Gruden thing. You saw him after the game. I mean, he was crying at the podium.
Correct.
That's the job of a head coach is to inspire his team and to show each guy in that room that he cares about them.
Yeah, I'm right here with you.
I'm right here with you. Every positive experience I've had with a coach, it's almost like, you know, a father-son relationship where, and Rex has said this, like, they don't care what you know until they know you care. Like, that's an important thing. And to now all of a sudden have, you know, this stuff come out about John Gruden, there's no way he gets into, you know, can step into a locker room and have the kind of relationships he needs with his players. It's
none.
Impossible.
Absolutely none. Let's go to Dan in Massapequa. Dan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, gentlemen. I can agree with the Rick Moore. Where's the blowback from the guys on the email? Where are they saying an email back to John saying, hey, we don't like what you're saying. We don't agree with what you're saying. Where is the blowback from them?
Well, it probably didn't faze them, Dan.
Everybody kind of takes it as a joke. What's that?
It probably didn't faze them. They probably saw it and they were just like, either, okay, fine, right? Either we feel the same way as he does, or that's the way Gruden is, and we're just going to leave it like that.
But isn't that a problem? I mean, that's
of course it's a problem.
I mean, oh, that's just John being John, you know? I mean, that's a big issue.
Well, you said where's the feedback from them? Hang on. You said where's the feedback from them? So I'm just answering the reason in my mind that they didn't have that feedback is they were either like, they don't see anything wrong with it, or, well, that's just John being John. I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm just trying to decide and decipher what their rationale is behind their decisions.
That's the shame of the whole thing, that there is no blowback from them as well, you know? My second point is, I called last week. I told you my son was a Boston fan. I had the Yankee-Boston rivalry, and I was going to let him stay up late. It annoyed me to a point last night watching him watch them win and him telling me, and that's why Cora is a better manager than Boone, and that's why Boston is a better team than the Yankees, because they let him manage. It annoyed me so much I had to kick him out of the room.
Yeah, put him to bed. Put him to bed early. All right, Dan, we appreciate the phone call. Let's bring on one of the hosts, the K portion of KJM, which comes your way at 8 o'clock every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN, Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn, we appreciate a couple minutes. I know you go on the air momentarily. But wanted to have you on about this really wild story with John Gruden. Doesn't sound like this is a tremendous surprise to you, though, that we got here to this day, is it?
Well, what I would say is, well, it's not a surprise that he resigned, whatever you want to call it. That's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that John Gruden, in my opinion, was always a bad guy. It's not a surprise to me. What is a surprise to me is that he would put insensitive language and despairing language in an email to a former colleague of his or a colleague of his or whomever, Bruce Allen, who he worked with the Raiders as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Bruce worked with his brother at the Washington football team. That to me is a little surprising, but on the surface, Gruden being – doing something that would raise someone's eyebrows, that's not a surprise to me at all whatsoever. I mean, I played for him for 2 years, and I don't have an axe to grind at all. I mean, I no problems. I work with him with ESPN. It is what it is, right? At the end of the day, I know who you are. Like, I can see you. You're not going to be able to hide from me. And that's one of the reasons that our relationship was as icy as it was in Tampa Bay is because I was the first person to realize this dude is a fraud. And no one wanted to believe me. You know, all of you sports talk media guys, you know how that goes. It's Keyshawn's fault. Oh, my God, he's a diva. He wants the ball. This is the reason they just form their own opinions and listen to one side. And throughout throughout my whole career, post-career, I never gave a rat's ass about what people said when it pertained to John Gruden, because I always knew the truth. And the truth was he is a bad guy. Now, all of a sudden, these emails come out, and people want to say he's a bad guy now. I'm like, man, he was a bad guy 20 years ago.
Yeah, but Key, I mean, I listen, you know, being in locker rooms all my life, I played for some coaches that were bad guys. But this is more than being just a bad guy. During your time with him in Tampa, did you ever sense he was like to this point where, I mean, he was this kind of bad guy, or was just you just thought he was a bad guy in general?
A bad guy in general. I like, again, I never looked at it from a standpoint of bigotry, race, homophobia, nothing like that. But doing something that a person of leadership shouldn't be doing and treating people a certain way or talking behind people's backs, that's not a surprise. It's just not a surprise at all. And I understand you've been inside of locker rooms and things of that nature, but being around him is different than being around the coaches that you've been around, because he's a different animal. He was a different character. When you go on the football field and you patting guys on the back and you saying, oh, my God, you're this hey guy and you're that. And then you go into the coaches' meeting rooms and you completely just shred everybody that's on your team. That's a bad guy. I call it a fraud, a phony.
Same thing, yeah.
Yes. And so to me, that's a bad person, man. When we won the Super Bowl, you went and took the role of general manager away from Rich McKay to the point where the guy who orchestrated and put the team together left in the middle of the season to go take a job in Atlanta because he couldn't stand to be around you. It's well documented. It's on record. It's not me. I'm just giving you facts. I'm not creating it. As they say, I didn't make the news. I'm just delivering the news.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing people need to understand about locker rooms, too, is the players, you know, teammates, coach, like, you know who a guy is. They can't hide in the locker room. Like, you know exactly what a guy's all about. But, Key, let me ask you this, though, too. I mean, the fact that these emails were going back and forth for as long as they went back and forth, and, you know, Gruden at the time was with Monday Night Football, comes the head coach of the Vegas Raiders, but, I mean, also Bruce Allen. I mean, position of power in Washington with the Washington football team. I mean, doesn't it speak to a bigger problem that this was going back and forth as long as it went and, you know, nothing was ever said as to, like, you know, Bruce Allen be like, hey, this is not acceptable? Like, isn't it speaking to a bigger problem right now?
Come on, man. You know, he sent it to his buddy.
Yeah.
He thought everything was okay. It's my friend. We all work together. Kumbaya. This is my guy. He was with me with the Raiders. I brought him to be the general manager when I got the power and ran Rich McKay out of the building. He became my general manager in Tampa. We were aligned together. So there's a trust factor there. But if you start to connect the dots and you put stuff together, you'll follow a trail. And I know Bruce, but you'll follow a trail. And then you'll see, like, oh, okay, I understand why Bruce wouldn't say anything. You think about it. The Washington football team had their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they had to basically blow the building up and try to rebuild the foundation and everything else with the Washington football team. That's why he was pushed out, because of some of the things that was going on in Washington. I mean, you know, you do know who Bruce Allen's brother is, right?
No.
George Allen, the former governor of Virginia.
Okay.
Connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Follow the trail. It ain't too far away from each other. And so when you start to really pay attention to it, because you just said to me, shouldn't Bruce Allen say, hold on, wait a minute. I can't have these conversations with you. The behavior pattern speaks for itself.
Yep.
When you connect the dots.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this story has come to light, and it's been a monster story. We know you're going to lead with it on your show. Spend a lot of time today. Keyshawn, we know you come up in just a couple moments. Nationally, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully with better stories to dissect. But good stuff as always, my man.
Hey, we could talk about Lamar's MVP season that he's having thus far.
Hey, Key, do me a favor, too. I mean, will you stop giving out your wife's cell phone number to everybody, please?
Man, I don't know how the dude got my wife's cell phone number. Put it this way, I got some investigation stuff going on myself with that.
The NFL's not the only one doing a little investigative work, huh?
Exactly.
All right, we'll talk to you, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yep, that is Keyshawn Johnson. What happened yesterday? The producer called his wife.
No, okay, so Key went to. I mean, he was in L.A. So Key, obviously, I mean, he was in L.A. before he came to New York,
right,
to do KJM.
Now is he back in L.A. full time?
No. He went back and he went to the Chargers game.
Okay.
So I mean, and give the dude credit for waking up as early as he is to do the show.
So he goes on at 6, which is 3 out there, which means he's waking up at what time? Like 1?
Well, I don't know how far he is from the studio. Yeah, I would imagine it's early. It's early, probably 2 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so his producer yesterday, I guess, couldn't get a hold of him. I guess he was texting Key. I guess Key was driving, so he wasn't responding to the texts because he's like, why am I going to respond? I'm on my way. I'll be fine. So the producer started to get nervous. So he texted. He must have gotten in touch with someone and said, I got to find another way to get a hold of Key, like make sure he's up. So they gave the producer Key's wife's phone number. So Key started getting text messages from his wife.
So the producer reaches out to his wife at 2:45, 2:50 in the morning.
Yeah, like, is everything okay? Like, Key, I mean, is he okay? Is
so
he
now
up?
She
is
probably panics, thinking something terrible's happened to my husband.
Because he left, yeah, because right. He's obviously not at home.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Now, but let me take the producer's side for a moment. You're 5 minutes before you go on air. You can't reach your host. Is it wrong for him to freak out and take other avenues to try to find Keyshawn Johnson?
No. Absolutely not. I mean, no, I would hope, I mean, I would expect RJ to text Cassie, call the house.
Right.
That's my biggest fear is sleeping through a show.
Oversleeping? No. Well, you wake up 4 hours before the show. I'm worried
about falling back asleep is what I'm worried about.
Oh, yes.
It's not so much sleeping through it. It's I'm up. I get everything done.
I actually hope it happens one day. I hope there's one day that you sleep through the 5 a.m. start just so I can solo host the show and hold it over your head forever.
Never.
No, that to me would be great.
It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, I set another alarm when I wake up.
Just the one time where all of a sudden you get a call on your house phone at 5:12 and it's RJ in a panic. Where are you? We're on the air and Rothenberg's a disaster. Get involved. We need your help. Just one time.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again. That happened to me at the Olympics. I missed the flight home, so that won't happen again.
But you're all banged up out there, I would imagine.
Yeah, but talk about, we're doing shots out of a boot. That's not going to happen.
Whose boot?
I think it was Chelly's boot. Ugh. I want to say it was Chelly's boot.
Then why a boot, though?
I have no idea. I don't know, just it escalated quickly. It was an unbelievable. I mean, it was, dude, it was this tiny little bar right outside the Olympic Village. And I've told the story before. I told you that where Chelly's like, he called us up. It was like, I don't know, 10 or 11 in the morning. And we went over there and it was just me, Chelly, Mark Parrish hanging out. And he's like, hold on, I got to take this phone call. And he's like, wait till you see who's coming now. And all of a sudden, Wayne Gretzky walks in.
Love it.
So we were hanging with Wayne Gretzky, and then from there, it just turned into a... Like, it seemed like the whole village was in this little tiny little bar doing shots out of boots. It was crazy.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.